Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back Tori Hartman. She is the author of the number one best-selling Chakra Wisdom Oracle Cards, the Chakra Wisdom Oracle Toolkit, a 52-week journey of self-discovery with the Lost Fables, and How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others, all published by Watkins Publishing of the United Kingdom. 18 months ago, she was living the good life in a home in Los Angeles designed and built by her friend Jeffrey Lewis. She had a voiceover recording studio and was teaching her fans to use their intuition to make decisions and to follow their dreams. But she recognized she wasn't happy and could no longer teach others to follow their dreams unless she continued to do so. She sold her businesses, her home, packed her dogs in her car, and drove to a new life in Asheville, North Carolina. Today, only a couple of years later, she is living the life of freedom she had envisioned in a beautiful home in downtown Asheville. And here are words about her from Watkins Publishing. Quite simply, Tori Hartman is a world-renowned psychic, author, and spiritual teacher, and one of our most exciting authors with her Chakra Wisdom Oracle Cards. Sales of the card deck have rocketed up the Amazon charts, seeing them at number one in card decks and fortune telling for more than 2 years, even before publication. Tori's ability as a reader to tap into another person's energy and gently offer suggestions goes farther than the person she is focusing on. Although her insights are deeply personal, everyone participating experiences the truth of her responses, and her style is unparalleled in her transparent, lovably human approach. She has a profound appreciation for those who are drawn to working with her. And so let me welcome Tori. And Tori, once again, how are you tonight?
Well, Boo, I keep wanting to call you Boo. I was saying right before the show, everybody, I said, I keep wanting to call David Boo. What's that about? And I don't know. It's maybe just your voice. It's kind of like, hey, Boo. I don't know. So how I am? Well, I just finished my first draft of my next deck, the book that goes with it. The deck is actually drawn, and I'm going to start editing it over the weekend. So I feel good about that, and I think I also feel, honestly, somewhat unsettled internally. And I think it has to do with so much going on in the world, and I think we're all so sensitive to some of the things going on. And I'm not even talking about, I'm not even talking about president or vice president or politics. It's just the energy of people. You know, I keep telling people it's how we relate to the issue is the issue. And people are in such upset that it's hard to see through some of it sometimes. And I think that that's how I am. So truth, everybody. I think this is a time of a lot of truth coming out and a lot of we're starting to see what we accepted as acceptable behavior in the past is so unacceptable that – I think that it's interesting because it's different strokes, right? But I think what we're also looking at is the idea that, 20, years ago, something would be a gag, and now we realize that it's not funny. So there's a whole new, I want to say, movement of, and I want to say it's an earthquake of what's acceptable and what isn't. So what I'm really seeing is the only real thing we have is our own internal compass, if you will. And I call the chakra our internal compass. And believe me when I tell you, David, I didn't know anything about the chakra until all these fables came forward after a near-death experience. And I'd always been a reader. I'd always been someone who could tell stories. I like to tell people, and I think this is timely for tonight, our wounding becomes our greatest gift. And I think if we look at that as, gosh, you know, how do you know that? Well, I can tell you that based on what you're doing in your show and just my own internal energy, I can tell that this is about your show is really about acceptance and finding acceptable ways of being, even when you don't agree, and acknowledging that others are different than us, and that's okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And this is your calling, you know, because obviously your wounding had to do with you not being accepted. And so when we look at what our wounding is, we can almost always tell our gifts, but we spent years and years and years trying to look good. And that's another thing for me with card reading. I think that cards are so miraculous because they kind of speak to us in a way of just giving us, I want to say, little nudges about, you know, about what we, who we're being and who we are. And they give us permission to use our intuition. And I think that's a big thing. And I think, you know, it's kind of a direct dialogue to God. I mean, it's like that direct, you know, a direct line to Big G, as I like to say. So, and of course, what you're doing here with your show is, of course, the synchronicity of people who were not heard or not accepted or don't feel accepted. You know, it's been a challenge for me, to be really honest, at this time, and I think some of your listeners may relate to this idea that, you know, there are, you know, here I am, and I'm in my 50s now, and I'm looking out in the world, and it's, people say, oh, it's so hard to make friends, and it's like, you know what, it's really hard for me to decide if I want to spend my time with people now. It's not that I can't make friends. It's that, is it a better choice for me to be with you or to be by myself watching an old rerun of Law and Order? Because I think what's happened is we've all learned to like ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something. Anyone listening to your show likes themselves, because people who don't like themselves don't give themselves this gift. They would not be listening right now. You know, I had a client who came and said, I have so much self-hate. And I looked at her and I said, so let me get this straight. You're married to a man that adores you. You drive the car of your dreams. You have all these things, but you have self-hate? Yeah, I don't like myself. I said, that's just not true. You may not be happy right now, but someone who doesn't like themselves would not create the life you've created. You just aren't allowing yourself to experience what you've created. And she looked at me, she went, oh. And, you know, we're so busy telling ourselves lies that how fantastic that all of this stuff is coming out. We're not telling lies anymore. We can't. Look at these guys, this guy in Hollywood, you know, who took advantage of all those women. And look at, and I feel badly for Kevin Spacey, actually, if I have to be honest. Not because he wasn't a groper or what have you, but because I think he's a talent, and I feel badly that he never got help. I think that's where I feel sad about it. And I think we're looking now at a time when we don't know how to relanguage what's happening to us. And I was just in Europe, and people are saying, what's the next big thing? What's, you know, because everybody's always talking about that, and when, you know, press interviews and stuff. And I said, you know, honestly, I think the next big thing is whether or not we're relevant. And if you think about it, how many people listening right now are saying, am I relevant? Like, how did I lose touch? Or, you know, why do I feel irrelevant? And the truth is because, you know, you just do, and everybody feels the same way because we don't know where we fit in anymore. And that's okay. I think we've made it not okay. It's okay to be irrelevant until you know how to be relevant. You know?
Doesn't some of that come from our somewhat of our inability to be authentic at times?
No, actually, I don't know. I don't know that that's. I'm going to say I'm not sure. How about that? Because
that's
I don't
right.
know that I don't know that authenticity, personal authenticity, has anything to do with whether or not we feel relevant. It's like feeling
mm-hmm.
sad. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just feel sad.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything about you. Sorry, I have an older dog who's finally learning how to stand up for himself, everybody. There's a puppy in the house. Come over here, Frank, you little old man. Come here. It's my little Pisces. He's so proud of himself.
He'll probably get mine going, too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, any minute. So what I was going to say, though, is that, you know, I think that we all, if I'm going to be really upfront with everyone, I think we're always being as authentic as we can be. And those of us who've done a lot of personal work, and I'm going to say most of the people listening to your show have, because people don't listen to these kinds of shows if they're like completely out to lunch. I'm sorry to tell you. Sorry, everybody. You just don't, because this isn't a political theory class. You know, this isn't about my mom hates me. This is a conversation around, hey, we've done that work, and yet there's something that doesn't feel authentic for me right now. Well, that doesn't mean I'm
yeah.
not being authentic. It just means I'm
right.
not feel it.
I was
wow,
stumbling
what,
around with that,
right?
And I think that's exactly what I was going for, is just
yeah.
not feeling that way. Because I think that we all do the best that we can each step of the way, and that we always have, no matter what has come our way, what mistakes
mm-hmm.
we may think that we've made, they're all part of the process of us becoming who we are today. And
yeah.
it's just part of our journey. It's nothing to judge.
Well, and I think the thing is that, you know, let's take that to one other thing, which is, what if it is to judge? What if you can just go, wow, I really made a bad mistake there. Okay. So, you know, I think, I want to say this too, that people, like, I think we need to erase the definitions, and we need to look at what's really happening. You know, all these pundits on TV, and I've been watching all of this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking self, you know, like, wait a minute. What is it that's so disturbing about some of the allegations that are coming out, particularly, like, you know, inappropriate behavior and what have you? I think it's the underlying rage that we all have from being mistreated in our lives. And I think these
mm-hmm.
people are symbols of that. And the truth
yeah.
is, at what point do we forgive ourselves for judging ourselves? In other words, at what point do I forgive myself for loving somebody that wasn't able to love me back? And
mm.
that's not their, it's not for me to forgive them for not loving me. It's me to forgive myself for loving someone who couldn't. And I think that this self-forgiveness conversation is really what we're seeing at this current time. And I know that this could be listened to months from now, but I think even as we look back at, and I'm obviously, even as I say his name, it's not recent. It's now a little older. But even as I say somebody like Kevin Spacey, what a sad thing. His father was horribly cruel and an abuser. So, you know, he just didn't know that it was wrong. He didn't know what he was doing was inappropriate. And you know what? You can make 100 excuses for it, or you can blame him till all, you know, the cows come home. But at the end of the day, at what point do we really look at, he's a symbol for all of us not knowing mm-hmm. how to behave. He just
right.
has to be famous, you know. And I think there's a big difference, and I really want to underline this. I do think we all need to really get that there's a difference between a serial sex offender like Harvey Weinstein and someone who, you know, kissed a 14-year-old girl when he was 30. I mean, not that I think that's okay. I'm not making it okay. But there are degrees of what people learn and do and don't do. And I just think that we can't lump everybody into one big, and believe me, I'm not voting for some guy who, like, is a sex offender. That's not the idea. It's more
right.
about, it's about us. It's about
right. I think it's important that we don't point the fingers. We need to take a look at ourselves and those
right.
things that need thing within ourselves. And maybe we can learn
mm-hmm.
from the mistakes of others and not make those mistakes for ourselves. And maybe we can also learn some things like compassion and forgiveness.
I think
really
that's going to be an interesting thing. No, and I think it's going to be a really
yeah.
interesting thing, David. I think you're really right on. It's going to be very interesting to see when we get to the other side of some of these allegations and people have gone through personal help or prison or whatever it is, right? When we get to the other side of some of this, how we respond to forgiving people their errors, you know? And I think that it's very telling that, you know, we're looking at, well, what about people who get incarcerated? We don't forgive them. We still hold them so accountable in their lives. And so I think that at what point do we, and I'm really talking middle of the road here, and I want everybody to know this. This isn't this is some, you know, liberal or this is some conservative. This is like a human being talking and just saying, hey, there are deeper issues here that are reflecting back to all of us. And I think that's really important. And so, the more we try to blame one person, the less we are evolving internally.
I think that's the bottom line. I think that is so well said. I like that analogy to things reflecting back to us, because we are all mirrors, and whatever we see in somebody else is something that we possess too, to a greater or lesser degree, you know. And it takes that ability to be honest with ourselves, to get in touch with that. And so many people are just out of touch. But I liked what you said about the listeners to my show, and we're getting more and more mm-hmm. of them. And I know you want to talk about your card deck, so
sure.
let's segue into that, and then we'll mm-hmm. take. We'll take callers. We aren't going to be able to get to everybody, but we will get to the people that I've talked to, and if we can get to more, so be it. Tell us a little bit about your card deck for people that aren't familiar with it.
Well, the first thing is that it's called the Chakra Wisdom Oracle Cards, and I didn't set out to do a deck. I had a near-death experience. I want to say... in the 80s, and after that experience, and that's a very long story, but I will just say that I came back, and I'd always been somewhat intuitive. And to just give you all the kind of little bit of the backstory, when I say your wounding becomes your greatest gift, from the time I was 5 until my mother died when I was 15, my mother told me I had no command of the language. And so she wrote all my papers for me, and if I didn't take down her dictation word for word, she would go into upset. So, you know, she got A's. And when she passed away, I failed English in high school because I didn't think I had a command of the language. And I worked really hard, really, really, really hard to learn how to write and speak. And I spoke, but more because I didn't think I had a command of the language. Anyway, cut to, I have this near-death experience, and I'm told, move to California. I was living in New York at the time, and I moved to Los Angeles, and then I had angels visiting me. And literally, when I tell you angels, everybody, it was more like spirit guides, and they would come and tell me these stories kind of bathed in color. And I would write them down because they wouldn't go away till I wrote them down, save the stories, and I had a book come out on fashion. It's now out of print, and all this stuff happened during those years. And I shoved these fables in drawers, and long story short, I created mastermind groups with them. And mastermind groups, basically, everybody, are the idea of when two or more are gathered, you create an energy together and you focus on your goals and your dreams and you create them. And so the fables became a book. They got developed, and the people in the group went on to won an Academy Award, and other people became best-selling authors. And there were a lot of things that happened from studying these fables. So I found someone who would draw these cards for me. And I have to tell you all honestly, I self-published the first deck. I spent my entire life savings. It was $100,000. I spent 95 of it to take it to China and, you know, print these cards. And I'd found a gal on the internet, and I said, I want you to draw these cards. She said, well, this can take me a year. I said, well, what do I care? I've had these for 15. Just draw them. And every week I got these little images in my email. And when she was finished, she said, you know, I feel like there's another card. I said, I don't feel another card. I feel that there's an energy, but I don't feel a card. So after the deck was published, I had it, like I said, I self-published it. And I found out how many 10,000 copies were, if everybody wants to know. It's enough to fill a small to mid-sized Barnes & Noble bookstore. And it covered my entire lawn, my neighbor's lawn. I had no idea how many. When I said, oh, 10,000, that sounds like a good number. So after I dropped to my knees and cried, while I was down there, I prayed, and I got this image to just get storage, which I did. And then I tried to put it on Amazon, and I found out that if I tried to sell it on Amazon, I would lose a dollar on every deck. So I was in trouble. And something said to me, give it away. And I was like, what? And it was this, I had $5,000 and I paid somebody to put up this website, and it was a shuffler. And people could come and try the cards. And I thought, well, at least people can get the energy. I don't know what I'm going to do with these decks. And one by one, slowly people would say, hey, can I buy these? And I put a little thing on, you know, it's come buy the deck. And then I put a cart up. And within 2.5 years, I sold all 10,000 copies. And then something said, go to London, and I did, and I met a publisher, and now it's in 7 languages, and there's probably, I think, around 65,000 copies. What I want to tell you all, though, which is the most important part of this story, is that after the card deck came out, and I had self-published it, and I was crying a lot. I'm not going to lie to any of you. No holds barred, right? It was the toughest time of my life, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I put this thing up, and 6 months to the day after I put the website up and the deck had just started selling, Gretchen, who drew the deck, she was the artist, she died. And I realized that she was the final angel. And this deck ultimately was about not dying with your music in you, not dying without your gift being expressed. And when I recognized one day, and it was long after, and I've always said, oh, your wounding is your greatest gift. And long after the deck came out and I was getting ready to move from Los Angeles here to Asheville, I woke up one day and I realized that my wounding, my mother making me take dictation, forcing me to take dictation from her, well, that made me uniquely qualified to take dictation from the angels. And I realized that this was part of the why that gift came to me. So as I say that to you, you know, one of the things that I learned is that there is a truth to following your knowing, and there's a big difference between a belief, like people say to me, come call me or come to me, and they'll go, I need to change this belief. And I go, no, 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 no. Beliefs are like deck chairs on the Titanic. We're not changing a belief. But when you know something, that's the purity of it. And years ago, I was in L.A., and an actor who is another person who's accused lately, and he walked up to me, and we were all in a bar, a bunch of us just chilling out together, and he said, hey, do you really believe this bleep that you do? And I looked at him, and I said, no, I know it. And he goes, what? And that's the difference. So when we hold a belief, it has an againstness energy. I need to defend it. I need to say, this is why I'm right. But when I know it, you know, it doesn't matter what you think or say. It really doesn't. I mean, you don't have to believe anything. It doesn't matter to me. And it's not an insult. It's just a truth of going back to authentic. If we're being authentic, we know something is real for us. So who do I need to apologize to for being myself? You know? And that's the story of the cards. And the cards, from the day they came out, I don't know how it happened on Amazon, but the Chakra Wisdom card, Chakra Wisdom Oracle card Facebook page went from 1,000 people to 59,000. And it's just been, people have found it and it has a life of its own. So
I guess it's a marvelous story. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It is something that reminds me that we all have that gift. And by the way, I believe the chakra are like musical notes. We all have them. So it is a question of, I don't believe that they get blocked. I think that they're just busy. And I think there's just constantly, you know, even the way we speak to ourselves, Boo, it's like we have, you know, we're speaking to ourselves and, well, I need to do this. And I'll say to somebody who I'm teaching, why do you need to do that? Well, it's really what I want. And I'm like, boy, I wouldn't want to do that if you spoke to me like that. So, and they laugh because it's like, oh my gosh, you're so right. You know?
Yeah.
So we don't speak to ourselves in loving ways. We've used all this terminology to beat the hell out of ourselves. And I think that we're given these buzzwords and these ideas because our intuition is really trying to speak to us. There's a buzzword, and what I mean by that, and I'll share this and then I'm going to stop because I really want to hear from some of you listening tonight too and pull some cards for you. I was working with a client who said to me, I was abandoned. My mother abandoned me. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she said, well, Tori, you know, abandoned. I said, well, I know what the definition means from a dictionary, but what does it mean to you? What happened? And a lot of times I don't really like long stories, but in this case it was important because it was the meaning she made of something. And by the way, the meaning we make of a word or an experience will dictate our life experience. Now, you've heard that said before. Here's how it shifts. So I said, well, what does that mean? And after a few, you know, rolling her eyes and me insisting, she said, okay. Well, when I was about 8 or 9, I would come home from school and my mother wouldn't turn around to look at me. She would just point with her back to me. Your snack's on the table. Go take your snack and do your homework. And I said, okay, so what did that mean to you? She said, well, she abandoned me. She never was there for me. And I said, okay, so where was your dad? Like, all of a sudden, I got this hit. Like, where was your father, right? And she said, well, Dad worked nights, and I really didn't see him much because he would, you know, he was only awake between the right after I went to school and, you know, and when I, and when I'm, before I got home. So I never really saw him much. And I said, he beat my mom and it wasn't good. They fought a lot. And I said, whoa. How do you know? She said, well, there was a pause and she went, well, I don't know. I just know. And I said, okay, but how did you, and she just paused. And I said, is it possible that perhaps your mother had been beaten up and she didn't want you to see the black and blue marks? And she went, oh, my God, yes. And we paused, and I said, what if your mother didn't abandon you, but she was trying to protect you from that? Sometimes we think if our kid doesn't see it, it won't happen to them. And I said, we know that's wrong because they know. And she said, yeah, I knew my mother was being beaten. And she went, oh, my gosh, that's it. And I said, okay. And we sat for a minute and another minute. And she said, oh, my gosh, My mother was trying to protect me, not abandon me. I just want you all to know, and David, this is key, she had made that one incident define who she was in her life so much so every man she'd ever gotten involved with left her, abandoned her, turned their back on her. Her life instantly changed once she recognized that her mother tried to protect her. And of course, you know, she soon, you know, she married a great guy later and they were happy and all that happily ever after stuff. But the point I'm making is that that's the power of the meaning we make with vocabulary and words, and which is why a lot of my teaching is around buzzwords and what these words mean. And so even mm-hmm. the word on a card can mean that. So there you have it. So,
well, that's a wonderful example. Thank you for sharing that. I'd like to get to six callers, if we can do that. Those are the people mm-hmm. that I've talked to. I don't know if we'll be able to go beyond that. But does that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah, speaker for a minute so I can grab my cards. But, yes, it does.
Okay, very good.
Okay, got them.
Okay, our first caller is Miranda. Miranda, you're live.
Thank you, David. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Miranda.
Sorry. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question?
I enjoyed your story, by the way. This is,
thank you.
Very interesting. Yeah. I was wondering if I could get a reading of telling me basically what to expect in the next couple of months before the year closes.
Well, just so you know, you've got 7 weeks. Something like that. So 6 weeks. Well, a couple of things I want to tell you that really I see very strongly for you, and bear with me because I pulled three cards, gossip right side up, rejection reversed, and victim right side up. And remember what I said about buzzwords, and there's another key to it, which is just like a retrograde planet, what opposes exposes. Now, when I see gossip, it's very difficult and has been, let me relanguage this, it has been challenging to this point to not be willing to change who you are every time someone has an opinion, because it's very hard for you to take in criticism. Now, when I say that, I feel that there have been, in the past, critical people around you, and one of the things that I'm seeing with the rejection reversed is for you really just not wanting to be around these people. And also, I want to say this to you, Miranda, this is kind of important that, you know, when I see this victim card, it's a great card because it actually is helping us see that this is someone who wants to break that glass ceiling. And I really feel like you've had this desire, this one particular desire, for a long time. And I do feel, and it's interesting because I'm feeling like this, I want to say like pit in my stomach, like a burning thing of like angst, anxiety around, you know, just staying away from people who are not nice to you. And I want to tell you that it's not that they've kept you down. It's that you've pretzeled your life so they're okay. And I want to tell you, I don't know, am I making any sense to you?
Well, sort of. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I want to say to you is that if you want to look at what the remainder of the year is, I would look also at what you started the year with, the idea that you really wanted to make certain changes, and asking yourself, what will it really take for me to make some of these internal shifts? Because I really feel you made a lot of external shifts. And so I'd like to support you in really opening your heart this year and really kind of getting that, and I don't know how else to say it, but there was a decision made of like, consistently letting people in who weren't always very nice. And it's because you're nice. Sometimes being nice sucks because it means that we sometimes tolerate things that are not tolerable. So I want to just say that I see that changing for you in these last few weeks of the year. And I also see that going into the new year, there's really about letting yourself off the hook and kind of going, look, this is who I want to be. And, you know, and just don't be around people that aren't really loving towards you.
Actually,
I hope that helps.
Because I think I have been. I have been. I've come across people who actually turned out to be
not so nice. But as soon as I found that out, I cut them off. I didn't actually tolerate it. So the reading really doesn't make sense. I don't think that I've changed in that regard. I've always been that way. I just will not put up with people who just don't treat me right or, you know,
well, I think
don't value
also
me.
That one of the things that does happen sometimes, too, is that the bar is set so high that there may be people who actually just make mistakes and want to be around you. So I think there may be something about knowing that, you know, just opening your heart a little more, and you may find that in this new year, you may bring in more of what you're looking for. So I don't know if that speaks to you at all. It sounds, what I'm feeling is that you're not agreeing with this, and that I feel that there's just that resistance of, no, this isn't right. But
no,
I
but that's
think,
okay. So, that's
okay. Yeah.
I appreciate
yeah, I'm
it. Feel- thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, David.
Okay, Miranda. Thank you for calling.
One of the things I want to say, though, too, and I think this is important, is that sometimes, and what I experienced there was just the idea of, you know, feeling into something that I was experiencing, and then going, no, that's not right. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just feeling shut down. And as I was feeling that, I started to get, well, maybe that is the issue of shutting down, maybe a little prematurely. So I wonder if sometimes, because how we relate to the issue is the issue. And I wonder sometimes, and she brought up an interesting thing for me of like being my mirror. I wonder if, you know, sometimes we shut people down too quickly before we give them a chance. And that's something that I notice is coming up for me lately. So I think that may be a more on point thing that I was trying to say. So I hope that makes sense to others. So who's
it
next?
Rose
Does that make
is
sense?
Next. Yeah,
Rose.
Absolutely. Question.
Okay.
Rose,
Hi.
You're live. Hi,
Hi
there.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, Rose. Hi.
My question today is, I'm single, and I'm wondering, what do you see with regards to my love life?
Well, this is interesting because I feel, it's funny, I'll tell you the three cards. I pulled impatience, instinct, and isolation reversed. And in English, what that means is these are two blue chakra cards, and the middle card, instinct, is the seventh chakra. Now, why five and seven is important is it's really, the impatience card is great because it's telling me that you kind of have done the work you've needed to do internally. So when I look at the instinct card, it really is about going up that hill and following that instinct, no matter where it leads you, allowing yourself to go on that journey. And I want to tell you the wolf fable, which is what this is, there's a short duration in which in the fable where he must travel alone. And I feel that that's kind of where you are right now, like that short duration of traveling alone. And when we get to the isolation card, which is the third one, and it's reversed, isolation is really about being completely ready for something. And what it's telling me is, Rose, you have to start saying yes more. And I think you're going to be getting more invitations in this season. And I want to see you saying yes and being willing to see love in many, many forms in your life. And I feel that it's only a matter of time then until the form that you're looking for shows up. I think you're ready, and I think you have everything you need to do it. It's just a question of saying yes and reaching out more. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to say this to you, Rose. Don't say no. The minute you get invited somewhere, I want you to think, oh, Tori said not to say no. Just be a yes. And you can put that on an index card and just put it near your, you know, your mirror and just say, be a yes. So be a yes, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised in the new year. By the new year. How about that?
By the new year. That means by the end of this year.
By the new year, if you do what I'm saying.
Yes. All right, Tori. Thank you.
All right, love. Much love to you.
To Same to you.
Take care,
bye.
Rose.
Bye,
God bless.
David.
Bye-bye. Okay, Deanna is our next caller. Deanna's a real
fan
of yours, Tori.
Oh,
and before
you talk to you,
let me just mention that Tori's website is torihartman.com, and Tori is spelled T-O-R-I. Hartman is H-A-R-T-M-A-N, torihartman.com on the World Wide Web. Sorry, I didn't mention that earlier. And go ahead, Deanna.
Hey, Tori, I used to talk to you even before you did the cards when you had your program. And I really enjoyed it then, and I enjoyed your conversation with David today. I think a bit of everything applies to me, even the readings that you did for the two other people. Someone on Blog Talk was doing a reading a couple weeks ago, and I asked her, whose cards are those? And she said, Tori's. And they were beautiful. They were truly beautiful. And I'm so happy because it was before you. It's when you had ordered the cards, but they had not arrived yet, I think, when we last spoke. And I'm just really happy for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You're a teacher.
Thank you, love.
Tell me what cards come up for me, please.
Sure. And what I pulled for you, Dee, were balance, quest, and instinct reversed. And what's really interesting is balance for me is really about not getting ahead of yourself in terms of like thinking that something outside of you is going to make you okay. Now, when I see that card in the past position, it tells me you've really kind of taken that on now. I really feel that you know there's nothing outside of you that is going to really bring what you're looking for. But what will bring what you're looking for internally is knowing that you are on the right path, because this has been a lifelong quest for you. And when I see the quest card, it really is. It's very interesting because it's the older woman going to the wise youngster to get advice. And he tells her, look down, you're already on the path. And she actually keeps walking on her path, and we see that the swamp that no one will cross, because everybody's like, oh, the swamp. Well, when she gets to the swamp, it disappears. It was an illusion of everyone else's mind. And she gets to keep walking because she dared question whether or not that illusion was real. And because what opposes exposes, and I look at the instinct card, what this tells me is that intuitively at this time, you really already know you're on your path, but I want you to know it may feel a little bit isolating, but I want you to know on the other side of it, there's going to be a huge breakthrough and a lot more happiness than you've been experiencing in the present moment. But what's very good about this for you is that you're not looking for that quick fix. You're looking for the longer journey of self. I want to say, I've been using self-mastery, but being at peace, you know, is a real form of mastery. And I want to tell you, I feel like when I look at Instinct Reverse, this is really about you having that connection already. And there's kind of a sense of, where are the others who have that I can be around? And I feel that they're going to really start showing up. Stay true to that energy and you'll attract it. Does that make sense to you?
I really like what you said. I wonder what the face of the card where it's Instinct Reverse says. Could you read that to me?
It just says instinct.
Oh, just instinct.
Yeah, that's what's on the card. Yeah, that's the image. I mean, the books have more information about it, but I didn't want to read the whole fable.
No, it's good. That's fine.
Pages, but yeah, no, it's what's on the card. Again, the first one is balance, the second is quest, and the third is instinct reversed. And what I would suggest you do is go ahead to the dictionary and look up those words for yourself, and then look up the synonyms and antonyms.
No, no, I am an interpreter, so that's my field.
Good,
words.
Okay.
But it was the instinct reversed because the other lady got instinct, and it was just, you know, turned upside down. That's what you mean.
Yeah.
I just thought, what good word, instinct reversed. It's like not paying attention to my instinct.
Well, not necessarily, because if we look at what opposes exposes, sometimes if we look at the reversal, it could be that you've already mastered it. It could be that you've already, you know, I want to say internalized it. And the way I'm looking at this is that I think it's more than instinct. I think it's in inner wisdom. And so sometimes when we, and I'm going to grab this as we're talking, sometimes when we look at the antonyms, you know, that really gives you, and I am actually, now I'm going to look up this one part of the card because I do think it's important. This is, and just so you all know what I'm pulling from the new deck, the new book, which is the How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others. And I'm just going to look at, now check this out, the instinct reversed. Here are the antonyms: knowledge, reason, lack,
reason,
disinclination, inability, incapacity. So sometimes you have to reason things out. Your instinct may be taking you in a certain direction, but what this is telling me is you're able to use your mind with your instinct. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does now, and I love all the different thesauruses. I just love listening to you tonight. Thank you so much, and I want to hear you again soon. Thank you, David, and I'll keep on listening if you don't mind.
No, not at all, dear. You're welcome.
Thank you. Only if you have enough lines. Good night.
Okay. Good night, honey. Okay, our next caller is Trish. And Trish, you are live.
Thank you, David. Hi, Tori.
Hi.
My question is, I may have an opportunity to take a different position where I am today or an outside position, and I was wondering what you were picking up about either.
I keep hearing, take it! So,
which one?
Here's the thing. You're going to know when it gets closer, and you're going to absolutely make a change. It could be that within where you are, it's kind of a lateral move, or it may be outside. It's very interesting that you, because I just heard, I may be able to take a different position where I work, and I heard, take it, and then you said the other one, and it's like, I just want to tell you, you can't make a bad choice on this. Because there's a couple things that I want to tell you in the backstory. What I'm picking up right away is you need to leave the position you're in anyway. It's kind of like, it's kind of done for you. So it's not going to really matter in a funny way where you go. I know that sounds terrible, and I don't mean it that way. The three cards I pulled were dissipate, it's actually dissipating, discovery reversed, and joy. Now, when you look at the card of joy, you know, I get newer readers who are looking at it, and they go, oh, great, I got the joy card. And I'm like, why are you so happy? Because technically the joy card, it can also be that you see other people being happy, and it's hard to experience it for yourself. So it goes to one of the stories I told tonight. But let's look at you specifically. One of the things I'm really feeling is that where you've been, it's almost like you've outgrown it. And I feel like you're going to feel one of these positions feels like a hand-me-down, and the other feels like new territory. And the thing I want to tell you about when I look at the discovery card reversed, which is really about finding out that the people around you may not be healthy enough to be around you. You may have outgrown a certain situation. This, as a reversal, you already know that. You already know that that's old news to you. So when I see the joy card, what comes up to me right now is here's the key. Pick the position that you will leap out of bed and go, I can't wait to go there and try this new thing. Make sure that it doesn't feel like hand-me-down old clothes, but it feels like something that is completely where you want to be. And I feel that you're going to make the right choice. I don't think it's a question of one or the other. It's a question of where do you want to be, what's going to bring you the most joy. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It does. So,
and I think you're
going
to have more information. You're going to definitely, I really want to say this to you, that I feel like within the next 5 days, you're going to get more and more information. Trust what you see. I feel like there's a new, a new boss, somebody who you haven't really experienced before, but you're going to get to know that person a little bit. You're going to know what the right thing is. You may not like that particular person. So I just want you to know that you're going to make the right choice. And I think it's going to be a very exciting new year for you. I think you're really going to love where you are. And what I'm really hearing is, you know, right now, both positions are kind of a little bit behind the scenes in terms of being a little bit dark to me, which tells me that you have not intuitively made up your mind, and you will know, I promise. It's going to be really exciting. You're going to really find freedom that you didn't have where you are in this position right now. Does that make sense? Does it help?
It does, and you're right. I don't have enough information right now to make a decision, so I'm looking forward to getting more.
Yeah, and you will. And I want to tell you, you will know what's the right one. And I keep hearing Spirit say to me, just don't take the hand-me-down. And I don't know what that means. But you're going to know what it means. It's the funniest thing. Sometimes I don't know how to say that to people, but you're going to know is what I want to tell you.
Okay.
Hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
All right, David. Thank you.
You're welcome, Trish. Thank you for calling, hon.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Kathy is our next caller. And Kathy, you are live.
Hi, Tori. How are you?
I'm good, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have a job question also. Several different leads for opportunities. And let's see. I've had in-person interviews with two, well, actually with three, and I have about three or four more that is in the process of hopefully moving to an in-person. So do you see any of them materializing?
I think the important thing is, yeah, you'll get an offer. The most important thing is you'll get a job. But I want to back up for one minute, Kathy, because I think this is even more important. And I want to validate something for you. I just want to say that you have a lot of, integrity. And I really feel, and I'm getting truth bumps as I say this to you, I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't know where it's coming from, but I feel like I want to say to you, I'm really sorry for what you've been through work-wise, because I do feel you were treated unfairly in the past. And I just want you to know that you were right. Am I making sense to you?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, because I want to tell you, because what I'm really feeling is a lot of pain around it. I really feel that before I get to the job thing, because it's not a question of whether or not you'll get an offer. It's a question of whether or not we can, like, together just validate. And if I can ask everybody on this call listening and listening later, can we just send her some light? I want to tell you, you really were mistreated, and I want to validate that for you. And I think it's really hard to pick yourself up and go out in the world when you weren't treated nicely, and it can kind of do a knee jerk reaction of, you know, thinking that you need to get an offer, when the truth is they're going to be lucky to have you, okay? And I really want to really help you reframe that for yourself, because you are so talented. And you were so denigrated that I just feel that you've made someone else's opinion mean something about you that it doesn't. They had a problem, okay? And it's not yours.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So as I say that, I want you to really get that all of us, meaning I'm hearing Spirit and I know people on this call, all of us know energetically that you have everything it takes and then some to be a kick-ass employee, like meaning you can knock this stuff out of the park. The most important criteria I want to say to you is you look for integrity, girl. I want you to look for integrity. So when you go in, you just say, I have a lot of integrity and I need to work for a company with integrity. Would you say that's one of the most important things that you promote at this company? I think you want to really go in with that level of you know, I really found out who I was in the last positions I was in. And to be honest, I want to be somewhere where we're really going to just grow together. And I don't want to be in a place where I feel like I have to hold back who I am or other people are holding back who they are. And I don't know if you need to say those words in particular, but I really want you to get that that's what I am making a stand right now for you. And I don't want you to take anything less than that. Does that make sense to you at all?
It does, and it's very interesting that that came up because I have a second interview tomorrow, and I have to take the job if offered because that will probably be my first offer, but they don't have integrity. They asked me two questions that is illegal to ask me, and the hair stood up on the back of my head in my first interview. And the only reason that I'm going tomorrow is because it's desperate times and I have to, and that's the one, as crazy as it sounds, that's the one that's moving the fastest right now. And it's so funny because I'm just like, this is not the place where I'm supposed to be, but I have no choice. So it's kind of funny that you say that. And then in my prior experiences, I'm very smart. I'm very intelligent. Usually my, and I'm not just tooting my horn. So, I usually have the problem of my boss is intimidated by me. And even when I interview sometimes, it's just another one of my interviews that I had last week. It was bizarre in the interview because they were talking about, I do accounting and finance, and they were talking about budgets and forecasts. And I was like, you have to be a strong accountant to be able to do budgets and forecasts. And the guy, the interviewer, was just like, okay, I guess. And I went, well, how do you guys budget and forecast over here? Because the budget and forecast is on prior experience as to what happened to move forward to know how you're going to do something in the future. So then it goes, oops, okay, maybe I'm smarter than him. And it's just, you see what I'm saying?
Well,
and
what I want to do, though, what I want to do right now, I want you to breathe.
Okay.
And I want you to change that dialogue for yourself. Because, you know, I think that whatever you're telling yourself, I have no choice, desperate times, whatever you want to tell yourself, that's what you'll create. So I want to support you and let you know there is something better. But I also want to say to you, if that's how you feel, then I am not going to tell you not to take that, only because if I do and you don't and you create a self-fulfilling prophecy if nothing else happens, I don't want to be the one who gave you, quote, advice. All I can do is tell you what I see, and I will tell you that, you know, this is about you making that a change, and whether it's this job or the next one, it doesn't matter. Take it based on what – all I can tell you is look at the integrity. That's the key. You'll make up your decision based on what your best spiritual path is, Kathy, and I want to support you in that. I don't – want to take too much longer because I know we've only got a minute or two, or a couple minutes, and Dave has another person he wants me to get to. But does this help at all? I hope it does.
Yes.
Should leave you confused, my love. It should, because what I did was I went in the face of what you've made meaning of. And I would encourage you to listen back to this section again, because there's certain things you've made meaning of that are self-fulfilling prophecies. So I just want to tell you that you can also change the meaning to create a different outcome. And that may be something that you're not able to do in this moment because of the meaning you've made of the desperate times. And that's okay. That's okay. Because maybe this message isn't for you. It may be for someone else listening. So I don't want to minimize that either. So you're going to do the right thing. The most important thing is you'll survive and you'll be okay and you're not going to be out on the street. How about that?
Okay, that's fair. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, David, I'm calling you Boo, calling you Joe. I'm gonna just, it's that kind of night. Okay.
Best wishes, Kathy. Thanks
Thank
for calling. Oh, we are going to take one more caller, if you can do that.
Great. Absolutely.
And that means we're not going to be able to get to everybody tonight. So contact Tori at her website, which is torihartman.com. And our last caller of the evening is Donna. And Donna,
but
you're
before
live.
Before we do that, before we go to you,
so
Donna,
much,
really
babe.
Quick, hold on one second, Donna.
Yes.
I just want everybody to know, as soon as Donna and I are complete, I'm going to pull a card for everybody. So we'll do a general reading for everybody. So we'll do one last quick thing. Okay, so don't quit yet, because there may be a message in that last card for you. Donna, hi.
Hi, Tori.
Hi.
My question is, I'm on eHarmony, and there's a fellow I've been writing, and it's good. I mean, he doesn't have kids. I don't have kids. He's 69. Mm-hmm. I'm 64. He lives in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is a nice area. And
I know it.
I don't know. Do you see it going further with him and I?
You know what? This is one thing I generally don't see very well, and I'll tell you why. Because it really is like all I can tell you is that you're both ready, and so it's really going to be a question of whether or not the two of you make that decision. Because at any time, especially when things are new like this, you can turn a different way. So it seems like there's a nice energy. I don't see anything bad between you. I think you've been, and if I may, I pulled the discovery card, the prayer card, and wisdom reversed. And you've made your choices, girl. You really made a decision a long time ago that, you were going to grow, and if someone wasn't going to grow, they were going to go. And, that's just who you've been. And I also have to tell you that I feel that you made a very serious choice when you were younger and took you in a particular direction that has had no regrets for you. You've done what you needed to do so far. And when I see wisdom reversed, it really is about knowing that this is your time. So talk about your time and eHarmony. You already know that you're ready. So I want to be honest and tell you, I see open energy. So I don't know, honestly, if it's this guy or the next guy, but I will tell you, I see it happening rather quickly for you. And and I think you're going to enjoy it. I don't, again, it's so funny because eHarmony is in such alignment with people that literally if this didn't work out, the next guy would be so much like him that they'd be similar. but he'd be right. And I'm not saying that there is another. I'm just saying that it's hard to see because I think all signs are very positive for you, is what I want to tell you.
Yeah.
I think you already know
that.
Yeah.
And I am ready for a change. I don't
want
to be by myself for the rest of my life.
No.
You're
ready for this
next companion.
Yeah. And I feel that's on the horizon for you. So absolutely. Yes,
all
is
right.
The answer.
Okay,
thank you
very much, Tori. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure.
Donna, thanks for calling and hanging in there.
Thank you, David. Thank
you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Excited to hear about her love life. Find out.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everybody. And Tori's going to pull one more card.
Yes, I am. I pull two, renewal, vanity, reversed. Renewal is really about understanding that we all have winter to have spring. And as we go into this restful internal time, I want you really to look at where we've come from, where you've come from this year. Take this time to really reflect and look at who you are becoming and who you've become. And when I see vanity reversed, this is really about saying no to people that aren't authentic, going back to what we said at the very beginning about being our authentic selves. And I think being true to yourself, when I see this card reversed, it's about, not buying into the crap, but being real with yourself. And I have to tell you, I really feel that everyone's going to have a very fabulous new year. I think 2018 is going to bring some really great stuff for all of us. So there you have it, David, and that's what I see.
Well, that's a beautiful thing to see, and I appreciate you, Tori, and thank you for being with me tonight.
Oh, I loved it. Oh. I loved it. Thank you, everyone.
Blessings to you, Tori, and to everybody. And now let's take time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.